The Dugout CEO podcast is on the air. I'm Phil Van Horn, baseball lifer and fan of the Dugout CEO. Each week, Casey Cavell goes around the horn with baseball superstars, Hall of Fame coaches, and business leaders who've used baseball experience to win the game of life. Now batting, Casey Cavell.
Dugout Nation, welcome to the Dugout CEO podcast today. I am joined by Nick Sonnenberg, who is the founder and CEO of Leverage, an operational efficiency consultancy that is reinventing the way work gets done. An entrepreneur, Inc. columnist, guest lecturer at Columbia University, and the author of Come Up for Air, How Teams Can Leverage Systems and Tools to Stop Drowning in Work. And since today is all about efficiency and effectiveness, we're going to jump straight into this hard-hitting episode that will help you get more done of the right stuff so you can say see you later to the overwhelm. Nick, welcome to the Dugout CEO.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so gosh, we were on a Zoom call maybe two or so years ago, and you kind of came in and helped us solve some, I guess, communication issues with our organization. I'm like, okay, I need more Nick. And I'm like, how do I get them? Because you're super popular and your time is really valuable. But then you wrote this cool book and I'm like, all right, we got to have you on, Come Up for Air. Like, this book was amazing. And then I started just buying all these copies and giving them out. So it's just awesome to have you on.
I really appreciate the support. It means a lot. I'm glad that you liked it.
Yeah. So you're an efficiency guy. So am I. So like, let's just jump in and just like make it happen. Let's give our audience some like things to make their lives better. And your whole book, right? Come Up for Air. The practical guide from going from drowning in work to freeing up an extra business day per week for everyone on your team. So it sounds like a dream. So it's like, okay, you know, this whole 4-day work week thing is starting to be a thing maybe in some places, or I'm hearing this, but it's like, literally you're like, let's do 5 days a week of work in four. So like, tell me the secrets.
A lot of people, they think that it's not possible, or they think that there's some catch. I'm not here to argue should it be a 4-day work week or whatever, but you know, I'm just proposing anything that's low value, that's crap, that doesn't add, you know, either joy to your life or value to the business. Let's remove that, and whatever you want to replace that with is, you know, a conversation between you and you know, the organization. But whether it's reducing a 5-day work week to four or keeping 5 days, but now you get the output of six, it's, you know, net better whichever direction you go. Or maybe it's something in the middle. Maybe it's like a 4.5-day work week, but you get 5.5 days. But yeah, there's some really simple strategies that I lay out in the book to really, you know, freeing up a full day might take a few, you know, depending on where you're at, could take, you know, 3 to 6 months, who knows. But there's some things that are just, we're seeing at Leverage, within a month, you could free up a few hours quite quickly. So there's some low-hanging fruit that everyone has. And, you know, the book kind of lays out some strategies and new ways of thinking about how you work with each other that are some mindset shifts and some practical, actionable strategies you can implement, you know, just right now that will immediately give you back hours a week.
So is it more, I've heard this Pareto's principle, right? The 80-20, 20% of the stuff you do produces 80% of your results and all of that. Is it more that? Is it like you teach people how to make sure they do the right things and stop doing things that don't move the needle in their business or not important? Or is it, okay, we're going to teach you how to do the right things, but do them better?
No, so there's a difference between efficiency and effectiveness. So efficiency is doing things right, and effectiveness is doing the right thing. So when you hear about the 80-20 principle, that's more in the bucket of effectiveness. You know, 20% of what you do produces 80% of the results. In my book, I discuss my framework, a new way of thinking for teams to operate more efficiently. So it's how can you save time and just do whatever you want to do faster without the friction, right? So, you know, I love the 80-20 principle, super valuable stuff. I think my contribution to kind of the business literature was more in the efficiency wheelhouse, which, you know, if you think about it, there hasn't really been anything around team efficiency. You've got individual productivity books like Getting Things Done and 4-Hour Work Week, but there's nothing, at least that I came across, which was really the playbook for how, as a team or an organization, you can be more efficient. So that's kind of, that's the wheelhouse that I like to jam in.
So helping teams become more efficient, because that's what we brought you in to do. Like, we were using all kinds of different ways to communicate, whether it's phone or text or email or Slack or, we're always communicating. And now a lot of the clients I work with are remote businesses. So what are those things that you did do or you advise people to do to create, I guess, better working relationships without that friction? Like, what are some simple things or mistakes that even people make?
Well, the underlying principle of the book is, if you want to be a high performing team, you have to be optimizing for being able to retrieve stuff fast versus what ends up happening is you optimize for transferring stuff fast. And if you can just align your team, the book lays out a framework guiding you in terms of what bucket you should put different types of stuff. So there's a communications bucket, a planning bucket, and a resources bucket. So my framework is CPR, and that's how I've laid out the book. And if you could just align your team on, in various situations, this is the drawer that that information should live. So, hey, for external communication, that's a drawer. Let's put that in the email drawer. For internal communication, that's another drawer. Let's put that in the Slack or Microsoft Teams drawer. So there's all these drawers. And if you can just align your team on what drawers you have at the company and in what situation you should open what drawer, you're going to find hours back a week. Because what ends up happening now is, since you don't align your teams on that, it's just a scavenger hunt. It's like a text, an email, a Slack message, a WhatsApp. And there's no rhyme or reason. You're just optimizing to get stuff off your plate as fast as possible. And so if you could just align your team on taking pause and putting things in the right drawer, even if it takes an extra couple seconds in the moment, net-net, when you have to go in a week or in a month to go and find what you're looking for, you could be saving, hours potentially. And if you think about it, in your personal life, you already kind of do things like this. For example, when you do your laundry, the fastest way to be done with your laundry would be you take it out of the dryer and you throw it in one drawer. But you don't. You take pause and you separate your socks in one drawer, your underwear in a different drawer. And you do that not because it's the fastest way to be done with laundry, but tomorrow when you have to put an outfit together, it's way faster to do so. And so it's the same thing in business. You've got different drawers for different things. Take pause. And if everyone puts things where it belongs, it'll make everyone's life far easier to find what you're looking for. And that scavenger hunt really is the silent killer inside of organizations.
So this scavenger hunt, like, give me some real world examples of the things you've seen businesses do with scavenger hunts and why that is
literally
killing.
Everything. Where can I find the documentation for how to onboard a new team member? Was that in an email? Was that in a text? Was that in this? What did Casey need? What did Casey need me to do by Friday? Did he text me that? WhatsApp me? Slack message me? Asana task me? It's literally everything. Like, it's anything from information, like how to do something, to what's the action item I needed to do. So it's in every aspect of how we work that there's a huge amount of disorganization, which I call the scavenger hunt, that is causing individuals to burn out and waste tons of time. But what I like about team efficiency is, say I can save, each person on a team 10 hours a week, right? And say that's like 500 hours a year. If you're a team of 20 people, that's 10,000 hours a year back to the organization. Think about the value creation of that. Think about what your business can do with just a gift of 10,000 extra hours to do stuff, right? Like, it can make a meaningful impact on your business if you're gifted not just money, but a free 10,000 hours. And that's kind of conservative, just based off of the results that we're seeing. And, it's the bigger the team, the bigger the opportunity of impact there is. Your team of 100, it could be much, much more. So that's what gets me fired up is, like, how can I save tens of thousands of hours for a team or an organization per year? And it's pretty exciting stuff, and it's pretty astounding how consistent. It doesn't matter if you're a 10-person financial advisor, or we've worked with, big tech, with thousands of people. Everyone's got very similar issues.
Why do they have these issues? Is it they don't have, I'm just wondering.
A few things. A lot of these new tools are relatively new. A decade ago, you didn't have all these tools. It was kind of just You had a couple of tools. Now, so, you know, you had fewer places to look. Now, all these tools are great. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not saying that it's better to just have, like, a Swiss Army knife, like, email and text. These tools are built for specific purposes, and it has functionality to really allow you to do things to enhance your workflow. However, they're all relatively new, and there's been no playbook to guide people on how to use these things. There's been no guardrails or playbook, and that's kind of why I wrote a book on this, because, you know, without that framework and without those guardrails, people could potentially hurt themselves with these tools rather than, you know, getting the value which they could and should be providing.
Got it. So CPR, communication, planning, and resources, correct?
Yeah.
So communicating, obviously that's simple, I think, in theory. Any things that you would advise, all right, you guys have a remote team or you have 10 people that you're talking to on a daily or weekly basis. What would you advise those people to put in place today or at least look at or audit to say, are we even communicating effectively with each other?
Well, like there's different, when we talk about communication, most people are thinking about either nonverbal communication or they're thinking about like tone and sentiment and those types of things. So just to be clear, you know, if someone needs help with that, I have experts in my network that I can, you know, point you in that direction. If it's like, hey, I'm having like tough conversations with someone, you know, nonviolent communication and all that. For me, the type of communication that at my company leverage that we train people on is as basic as even take email. Like that's kind of the starting point of all this stuff. Like how do you even use Outlook and Gmail powerfully so that you don't waste time in those tools? You know, a lot of people, if you could just tune up how they use email, and we've got a pretty robust framework called RAD, Reply, Archive, Defer. And if you understand that, you understand how to snooze, you understand folders, strategy, inbox versus archive, search, settings. When you stack all these things up, no one's using email, right? Even though they've been using it for decades. And just that one tool alone, you might find 5 hours back a week. It's pretty crazy. So when I'm talking about communication, I'm talking about, you know, how are you using email? Like, do you know when to use email versus Slack, Microsoft Teams, Asana, everything else? So when you can align people on when and how to use, you know, these tools, it's exponential.
Yeah, and that's one of the things you did. You kind of had us give you all of the ways that we communicate with each other. And then, okay, well, what do you use all of these things for? And we realized we could cut these three tools and buy this one and we would wrap them all together. Or this is how we use email, or this is how we use Slack. It was so much easier and more effective. I guess it is. It's like, who wants to take time to learn how to use email? So I guess, how would you motivate somebody to say, hang on, you need to slow down and think about these things, because you're right. You're sending 100 emails a day, but nobody really thinks, is this the easiest or the best way to use it? Is it you get to a pain point, or like, when would somebody even be like, hey, I need to do something different?
Well, I mean, who are we talking to? The employee right now, or are we talking to the business owner?
I think maybe both, right? Because as an employee, I want to make sure I'm being wise with my time and get more done and get what I need. But then also, I guess, as the business owner, I want to make sure everybody's working on the right things and communicating effectively.
Yeah, I guess sometimes incentives are different for both categories. That's why I ask, right? Like as a business owner, you know, why it's a pretty easy sell. Like if I could say to you, hey, in the next 3 months, I can increase your efficiency by 20% output. Across the board, every employee has an extra 20%. Every business owner wants that, you know, but an employee, maybe they're not going to get compensated more. Maybe they think that their job is going to be at risk. You know, maybe they like doing some of the crap. Maybe they have been doing something for decades and feel like that their way is the best and they don't want to try something new. Maybe they're drowning in work, which is why I call my book Come Up for Air, and they don't have an hour a week to learn some of this stuff, right? So,
gosh, yeah. Wait, so let's talk about that person, because if the owner is hiring you, they're going to need to get buy-in from their team, right? How do you go about getting people to buy into change? Because it feels like change is hard, and getting people to think smart and not hard and challenging the process. Like, I think that is a challenge for a lot of owners and leaders, is getting other people to think like an owner. How do you get people to realize there's got to be a better way?
you know, you have to, one, get the executive team on the same page and like get their buy-in, right? Then, you know, they have to figure out kind of a way, like, how can we remove something from people's plates short term? And, you know, like when we do our foundations program, for example, it's a 30-day program. It's a total of 5 hours of people's time. So we try to make it as painless as possible. But still, even 5 hours over 30 days is 5 hours if you're completely drowning. So, you know, the boss has to figure out a way to, you know, make it acceptable to give you 5 hours. If you can get 5 hours, then, you know, it becomes just like you have return on investment, you have return on time. That 5 hours, I can almost guarantee we can turn into 10 hours back per month in perpetuity. So it's like, one, in what financial situation would you not want to do something where you can invest $5 right now and then for the rest of your life get back $10 a month? So it's the same thing with time, and you just need your boss to kind of give you that free space so that you can have that 5 hours for the first 30 days.
Got it. Okay. So the foundations program, definitely going to leave that in the show notes. And then let's talk. So we got the C, we got the P and the R, planning and resources. Hit those briefly, what those are and what people should be thinking about around those two things.
Yeah, a lot of people are using communication tools when they should, for example, be using a planning tool. So an example I use is like, imagine you take your team camping in the forest. You would need walkie-talkies to communicate, but you would also need a map to navigate out of the forest. So email and Slack and Teams, those are walkie-talkies. Like, hey, Casey, how's it going? Hey, welcome Nick to the team. That's different than a map, right? Like, hey, Casey, can you edit this podcast by Friday? Most people would write a text, a WhatsApp, an email, a Slack message, but that really should belong in your work management tool. It follows kind of the Mad Libs, like, hey, person, so there's an assignee, do this action by some due date, and you want to hold them accountable and track, did that get done or not? And if you think about kind of the functionality of a communication tool, it's for communicating. You can't just click a button and know, did this thing get done or not? You have to start scrolling, and if you start fire hosing people with 10 different things you want them to do, we've all been there before and done that. It becomes really difficult to hold people accountable and know, did this get done or not get done? So that's the purpose of a planning tool. And then resources is all about documenting your knowledge. So every company has knowledge and intellectual property. How you do payroll is a process. How you onboard a new team member, your core values, like all of these things, how you edit a podcast, like there's some process that should get documented, right? And so there's different tools to store all of that knowledge so that, again, back to kind of principle number one, it's all about optimizing for retrieving stuff versus transferring stuff. So you want to be able to retrieve whatever information you're looking for as fast as possible. And think about the benefit. One, you have consistency because there's like one place to go and see the way to edit this podcast. So podcast to podcast, you'll have similar editing. Two, if someone leaves, you're not as vulnerable because now they're not leaving with all this knowledge in their head on how to edit a podcast. There's one place to easily find, right? And then the third is you save time not having to ask people questions over text or email like, hey, how do I edit a podcast? It's like, I'm not going to waste my time explaining it. I've invested the time to build this really well-documented standard operating procedure, and here's a link. Go and follow this.
It feels like it's like that whole thing where it's like you got to sharpen your axe. Like if you take 30 minutes and sharpen your axe rather than just using the same axe for 3 hours, right, you're going to get so much more done. And it just feels like a lot of business owners, employees are just so far in the weeds chopping wood all day long. And they just took a step back, sharpened the axe, right? Ask some questions, figure out, all right, is there a better way to do what we're doing? I think it's good. And our little session with you, it was literally like, let's turn off all of our messages and let's just think smart for a second. What are our issues? What are our real issues? And this program is amazing. So, hey, look, I don't want to spend more time because our goal today was to be efficient and effective. And I think we've done it. And we could talk probably for hours about efficiency and effectively, but your CPR format, I think, was amazing. And just give our listeners where to go one more time. This foundations course, I know, is something. Obviously, the book, Come Up for Air, we're going to put that in the show notes. But anything else you're working on, excited about, you want to share with our listeners?
Like for more info on the book, comeupforair.com. Is a great place to go with where to buy the book and get also bonus resources. And then if anyone's interested in kind of going through that foundations program that we were talking about, where we cover the, we go a bit deeper than the book, cover the principles of efficiency, and then we get your inbox literally, you know, to zero. When I say inbox zero, for me, if you have less than 20 in your inbox, you're fine. You can go to getleverage.com and find information on that. And it was great catching up with you. It's been a while.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I always want to share and sing the praises of people that have helped me and some of the clients that I've worked with, Nick. So thanks so much for being a guest on the Dugout CEO. We'll connect again soon.
Sounds good, man. Yeah.
Wow, blown away with our time with Nick Sonnenberg. Hard-hitting, straight-to-the-point episode, and here are three big takeaways. Number one, the difference between efficiency and effectiveness. Efficiency and effectiveness are not the same thing. Efficiency is defined as the ability to accomplish something with the least amount of wasted time, money, and effort, or competency in the performance. But effectiveness is defined as the degree to which something is successfully producing the desired result. Number two, do you have a communication system? I work with companies all the time, and many of their issues are all about communication. But the real issue after diving under the hood is communication. Why? It's because they don't have a system. They have systems for HR and finance and sales and customer service, but they lack a communication system. Not many organizations have clearly written it down. All the things they need to communicate, how they communicate those, and tools like email and Slack and phone and text. There's a bunch of great apps out there, but they're mostly redundant and they're not efficient and they cause bottlenecks in the business. So what can you do today to get more clear on how you communicate and what you communicate? And number three, odds are that you know this stuff needs to happen, systems and processes and efficiency, and you might see problems in your organization, but what are you going to do about it? Knowing these things are an issue, inefficiencies and not being effective in communication, like, you know it's an issue, but what are you doing? Look, number one, read the book, Come Up for Air. You and your team deserve to be efficient and effective. And number two, email me. I can send you a communication guide that we've put together for a lot of our clients, mostly entrepreneurial companies under 50 employees where the business owner, they want to scale, they want to grow, but they're having struggles getting out of the day-to-day. And if you send me an email, casey@caseycavell.com, I'm going to send you a guide that we ultimately use with a lot of our clients to help them get communication right. Thank you for joining us once more for another episode of The Dugout CEO. We want to get you the tips you need to become an MVP at what you do. Sign up for our Friday Focus newsletter and you'll receive a valuable tip each Friday morning to help you build the business and life you want. You can sign up by going to caseycavell.com or click the link in the show notes. And make sure to hit the subscribe button so you get notification on our next episode. And one way you can help us book more great guests like this is to please leave us a rating and honest review in the Apple or Spotify podcasting app.